B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yumad Daf Chof Gimel. We're going to start 17 lines from the top of the Omud. Says the Gemara, and this takes us back to the Mishnah. We saw in the Mishnah Daf Chof Beis Omud Aleph that if there would be a number of Kernim that were racing to the top of the ramp in order to merit being the winner and to be able to do the Trumas HaMizbeach, the Trumas HaDeshen, then if more than one Kohen would arrive to the top, then they would do the pious, which is the type of a lot. And the way it would work is that each the Kohenim would stand in a circle, and each Kohen would, the one who's appointed would say, put out your fingers, and then Umahin Moitzin, says the Mishnah, what fingers, how many fingers would they put up? Achas Oishtaim, one or two, Vein Moitzin, a good old Bamikdosh, and they would not ever lift up the thumb in the Beis Hamikdosh, etc. Says the Gemara, Umayin Moitzin, Achas Oishtaim, v'chulu. Asks the Gemara, Hashta Shtaim Moitzin, if they were allowed to put two fingers up, Achas Miboya, it goes without saying that you can put just one finger up when counting. And why does the Mishnah say that you can put up Kama Umayin Moitzin, Achas Oishtaim, one or two? Just say you can put two, and we'll take it for granted that if you choose to put one up, that's okay. Answers the Gemara, Merv Chizda Lo Ikashya. The truth is, it's not that you can choose to put up one or you can choose to put up two. No. Kan Bebori, a healthy Kohen who's able to stick up just one finger without a second finger being put up at the same time, he's only allowed to put up one finger. Kan Bechole, however, a weak, a sick Kohen who's not able to put up just one finger, we allow him to put up two fingers. Votanya. And proof to this is the Braisa. Achas Meitzin. That's a tesefta, that they would put up one finger, shtayim ein meitzin, and you're not allowed to put up the two fingers. Bamed vorim amurim, when is that true that you're not allowed to put up the second finger? Bebori, with a healthy kohen. Aval b'chole, if he's sick and weak, afilu shtayim meitzin, he's even allowed to put up two fingers. V'hayichidim, and according to Rashi, yechidim are those sick kohenim that are sitting on the side, and they're not sitting together with other Kohanim when they're being counted. They're either lying or sitting on their own. Moitzin Shtaim, they also can put up two fingers. Ve'ein Moinin Lohem, and irrespective of who it is, when they put up two fingers, we only count it Elo Achas, we count it as one. So whilst we're counting the Kohanim, it goes every Kohen is one number, irrespective of whether he puts up one finger or two fingers. Ve'ein Moinin Lo Elo Echot. Asks the Gemara, is that true that if in the event that he's a Kohen who's allowed to put up two fingers, that you count the two fingers as one? Well, Tanya, this seems to contradict what we learnt in another Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Ein Moitzin, a healthy person, is not allowed to put up Loi Sholish, not the middle finger, together with his index finger, V'loi Gudel, and not the thumb, together with his index finger. Why? Mipnei haramoim, because those that were cheating, and they would put up, if there would be a lot of kohanim, and they would be quite cramped together, and the kohen would realize that he would be the winning number, but he's just one out. That means he's the one before the last. He may just add that second finger, and the kohen who's counting will mistaken it as being two different people, and he'll be the winner. And really, it's a cheat because he's put up two fingers. And therefore, you're not allowed to put up together with, a healthy person is not allowed to put up together with the index finger, not the middle finger and not the thumb. V'im hoitzi shlish, but if he does put up the middle finger, moinin loy, we count it. What would it seem? It would seem that we count it as two. We count it one number for the index finger, one number for the middle finger. Gudel ein moinin loy, but if he puts up the thumb, ein moinin loy, then we do not count it. Not only that, the one who's appointed to take care of this pious, if he sees a kohen putting up the thumb, then this kohen is actually going to get lashes with the whip for putting up the thumb. He's not allowed to. Says the Gemara, so when it says in the Braisa that if the kohen put up the middle finger together with the index finger, we do count it. The Gemara answers that my moinim loy. No, don't say as we thought that when the kohen puts up the middle finger, we count it as two together with the index finger that they count as two, and that would be contrary to what we said before in the first brisa that ein moinin lohen elo achas. No, when it says that moinin, it means my moinin loy nami achas. It means that if he puts up two fingers, even though he's put up two fingers, we count it, but just as one. My pekia, and when it says that a kohen who puts up the thumb, he gets the mamuna, the one who's appointed, gives him lashes with a pekia. What's the pekia? Omar Rav says pekia is marada. Ask the Gemara, my marada. What's marada? Omar of Papa, metarko de tayo. It's the whip of the Arab merchants, and they would whip their horses, deposit kreshe, then the end of the whip wouldn't be straight, it would be, the top would be, the tip of the whip would be split in order that the horse should feel it in more than one place, and that is the type of whip that this kohen who put up the thumb would get lashed with. Omar Abaye, Miresh Hava Amina. At first I thought, Hodit Nam, this that it says in the Mishnah, in Mseches Shkolim, Ben Bivoy, the person called Ben Bivoy, he was Mamuna, he was appointed in charge al ha-pekia. What does the Mishnah mean that he was in charge of the pekia? So at first, Amina, I said he was in charge of the psilta, of making the wicks, ditnan, kuditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, that mibaloi michnesei kohanim, from the worn out trousers of the kohanim, umehem yeneim, and from their belts that they were no longer wearing, mehen hoyu mafkin, they would tear strips and they would turn them into wicks. Ubehen hoyu madlikim, and they would kindle the menorahs, the lamps, for the simchas beis hasha'eva with these wicks made of these worn out big day kohuna. So I thought, says Abaya, that when it says in the Mishnah that Ben Bivoy was appointed on the pekia, that he would make these wicks. Pekia means to tear strips of these clothes. Kiven de Shaman Elohod de Tanya. Now that we saw in our Brisa, that the Brisa says Veloy Oid, that this Kohen, he puts out his thumb, that not only does he not get counted, Eloshaloika, he gets lashed Minamamuna Bepekia. And Pekia there doesn't mean wicks. Amina, so then I said, my Pekia Nagda. That when it says in that Mishnah that Ben Bivoy, he was appointed and in charge of the Pekia, what does it mean? I changed my mind, says Abaya. It doesn't mean he was in charge of making the wicks. It means he was the one who would give the lashes. Continues the Gemara, Maisa Shoyu Shneim Shovim. There was an incident where the two Kohanim would race to the top of the Mizbeach to see who would get there first. V'rotzin v'oilin bekevesh. They would run and go up the ramp. And then the Mishnah continues to tell us what happened there. That v'dochaf echod memes chaveri, one of them pushed his friend, v'nofal, he fell, v'nishbar aragla, and he broke his leg. And the Chachomim saw it was dangerous, so they stopped the races. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Maisa b'shnei kohanim, there was another incident of two kohanim, shoyu shneim shovim, they were both running parallel to each other, neither was winning. V'rotzin v'oilin bekevish, they were running up the ramp. Kodam echod mehem l'toich arba amis shel chaveri, and then one of them got to that point of the four amma line just before the mizbeach, before his friend. Not al sakin, his friend, the one who lost, took out a knife, v'toka lo'i b'libwe, and stabbed him in his heart. Omad Reb Tzodik, at that point Reb Tzodik stood al mailo isa ulam, on the steps of the ulam, which are these rooms or chambers that were in the Harabais. V'omar, and he said, Achenu b'nei Yisrael, our brothers Klal Yisrael, Shimu, hear me. Harei hu oimer, does the Pasuk not say, Ki yimotze cholol ba'adomo, when you find a murdered person on the ground, V'yotu zekinecho v'sheftecho, and your elders and your leaders, the judges have to go out, they have to take responsibility, they don't know who murdered him, and they have to bring the egg lo arufa, they kill this calf in the valley, it's a whole procedure. And we see how seriously the Torah takes it when somebody gets killed. Onu, and us, that unfortunately this person's been killed here in the Beis HaMikdosh. Al mi lo havi egg lo arufa? Who's responsible for bringing the egg lo arufa? Al ho'ir, is it the elders of the city of Yerushalayim? Or since it happened in the Beis HaMikdosh, al ha'azoros, it's incumbent upon the Kohanim who are in charge of the Beis HaMikdosh, they have to bring the egg lo arufa. And obviously there's lots of questions here. The Gemara is going to address them soon. But this is what Reb Tzodok was telling the people, "Go, kolom bebchia," and all the people started wailing and crying, because look what happened, a tragedy. Somebody was murdered here in the Beis Hamikdash. Bar Aviv Shel Tinek, the father of this youngster, who had just been stabbed, Umotzi Kushum Farper, and he saw that he was still moving. He hadn't yet expired completely, he was still alive. Omar, he said, Harehu Kaparaschem, his death is going to be an atonement for you. Adayin Benim Farper, but my son, he's still alive. Veloinit Mosakin, and the knife that stabbed him is not yet Tomei, because he's still alive. And take out the knife, so the knife shouldn't become Tomei in the Beis Hamikdash. Lelamdoch, what does this teach us? Shekosha aleim, that they taharas kalim, that they took more seriously, they gave more attention to the halachas of the purity of the kalim. Yosem shvichas domim, it seemed to bother him more that the knife shouldn't become tomei than the fact that his son had just been murdered. V'cheinu oimer. And the Braisa continues, and that's indeed the pasuk says that the concept of bloodshed had become lax and become lenient in their eyes, as it says in the pasuk, "V'gam dam noki," and also innocent blood, "Shofach Menashe harbe ma'oid." Menashe, the wicked king, had spilt very much innocent blood. "Adash emiles Yerushalayim," until the blood filled Yerushalayim, "Mipeh lofeh," from one side to the other with blood. They'd become accustomed to murder and to bloodshed, and therefore they were less. It was less serious for them, the bloodshed, than the halachas of the purity of the kalim. Ask the Gemara, now that we've seen in the Braisa there was an incident of a murder on the race up the ramp. In our Mishnah we saw that there wasn't an incident of murder, it was just that a kohen got pushed and he broke his leg. The question is, Hai Maisa Kodem, which of these two incidents was first? Ilem with the Shvichas Domim, was it the second incident that was actually happened first, the murder? Hashta Shvichas Domim Lo Tiknu Paisa, if that incident in its own right was not enough to make a pious, Anishbar Raglo Tiknu, then why in the second incident, the one recorded in our Mishnah, where the person just broke his leg, why there did the Chachomim suddenly say, okay, this is getting too dangerous, we'll make a pious? There was a murder earlier on at a previous occasion, and that wasn't enough to say that it's too dangerous? Elo, the Nishbaru Raglo Kodim. Let's assume that the first incident was the one in the Mishnah. If so, given the Tkinu Paisa, we saw in our Mishnah that already at that first incident when the Kohen broke his leg, the Chachomim said, we're going to do pious, Arba Amis Mayavidatayu. Then this second incident, they were running to see who was going to get the first, and one person got there in the four Amos before the other, and then he got killed. Well, what were they running up the ramp for if after the first incident, the Chachomim already said, there's no more races, there's only a pious? It must be, says the Gemara, the Shvichas Domim Kodim. It must be that this story with the murder was first. At first they thought, Akroi Ba'almahu, it's just by chance. It's like, it doesn't make sense. It's a very unusual occurrence that somebody should stab his friend. Given the Chozi, Afilu Memela, Osilidate Sakona, once they realized that even without being a murderer, then just running up the ramp could be a danger of one kohen pushing another, and it could get dangerous. To Kinra Abon and Pai, so the Chachomim said, that's it. So murder, that we don't need to assume that will happen again. But if people are going to break their legs, that's it. It's getting dangerous. No more races. What was next in the Braisa? Omad Reb Tzadok al Mailis Ulam. Reb Tzadok stood on the steps of that Ulam, which is some building that was put up in the Azara, in the Harabai, sorry, not in the Azara. V'omar, and he said, Achenu, our brothers, Bnei Yisrael, Shimur, here, Harei u'emir ki motzei cholol ba'adoma. Does the pasuk not say that when you find a murdered person on the floor, on the ground, Anan al milahovi, who needs to bring the egla rufo? Al ho'ir, the city of Yerushalayim, oyalo Azorais, so the kohanim, who are in charge of the Azorais, of the Beis Hamikdash. Asks the Gemara, Yerushalayim bas yisuya egla rufo hui? When you, Reb Tzadok seems to be discussing and contemplating who needs to bring the egla rufo, the kohanim or the elders of Yerushalayim. Well, do the elders of Yerushalayim ever have to bring an egla rufo? Well, Tanya, did we not learn in the Braisa, Asorah Dvarim Nemru B'Yerushalayim, 10 things were said about Yerushalayim, V'zu Achas Mehen, and this is one of them, that Eino Mevi'o Egla Rufa, because in the parash of Egla Rufa it says that only when the murdered person is found on an inherited part of Eretz Yisrael, you do the Egla Rufa. But this opinion holds that Yerushalayim was not inherited, Yerushalayim Lo Nischalko L'Shvatim, we've learned about that previously, and therefore there is no Egla Rufa in Yerushalayim. Void, and another question, why are you discussing Egla Rufa? Egla Rufa was only given, as only the Chachomim only have to bring the Egla Rufa, the elders, only if you find somebody murdered and you don't know who murdered him. The Pasuk says, Ki motzi cholol ba'adomo, asha Hashem elikecho noisin lechol erishto, noifil basode, loy noidam mihikiu, mihikohu, you don't know who killed him. In this incident here, we know exactly who murdered him. Where does Egla Rufa come in? Says the Gemara, you're right. Of course, nobody thought that there was any Egla Rufa here. He just wanted to arouse the people and increase their wailing and crying for the unfortunate incident that had taken place. Therefore, he was speaking about how important it is to for every life that gets lost. Continues the Braisa, Bo Aviv Shel Tinoik, the father of that child, that youngster, came, Umotzuk Shumafar Pir, and he saw that his son was still writhing, was still alive. Omar, he said, Harehu Kaparaschem, first of all, he'll be an atonement for all of you. Vadain Bni Kaim, he's still alive, Chule, etc. And he said that the knife is not yet Tohir, as we saw before. Lelamdoch, to teach us, Shekosh Aleim, Taras Kalim, Yesim, Shvichas Domim, that they took the halachas of the Kalim even more seriously and more stringently than bloodshed. Asks the Gemara Boilu, what was the issue? Was it that Shvichas Domim Hudazal? Was it that, that bloodshed had become lenient and cheap in their eyes? Aval Taras Kalim, Kedekai Mekaima, and the stringency and the way that they viewed the halachas of the purity of the Kalim, that hadn't changed. Just bloodshed had become cheap. Oy Dilmo, maybe no. Shvichas domim kedekai mekaima. Bloodshed was as serious to them as it always was. Avataras kelim hu dechamira. It's just that the halachas of the purity of the kelim had become even more stringent in their eyes. Answers the Gemara Toshima. Midaka nosiv lu talmuda. Since the Braisa continued with the posuk about Menashe, that vegam dam noki shofach Menashe harbe moid, from the fact that that pasuk is brought, Shema Mino, we can deduce from there, Shvichas Domim Hudazal, that the bloodshed had become cheapened in their eyes, Vataras Kalim Kedekai Mekaima. The halachas of the purity of the Kalim, that didn't change, just bloodshed had become cheap in their eyes. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. We saw in the Mishnah, we're discussing the Trumas Hadeshen, that they would, the Kohenim would, they would either make have a race, or they would make a pious, who was going to deserve to be Torah Mesamizbeach, to take that shovel full of ashes and put it on the Mizrach side of the Mizbeach every morning. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, it says in the Pasuk, that after doing the Trumas HaDeshen, separating just a little bit of the Deshen and putting it next to the Mizbeach, there was another mitzvah. They would remove the Deshen from the Mizbeach, the ashes, they would remove them and take them outside the city. But before doing so, the Kohen would change his clothes. He would wear one set of clothes for doing the Trumas HaDeshen and another set of clothes for doing Hoitzoas HaDeshen, for removing the ashes from Yerushalayim. What does it say in the Pasuk? Uposhat es begodov, he would remove his first clothes. Velovash begodim achirim, and he would wear other clothes. Vahoitzi es adeshen el mechutz lamachane, and they would remove the rest of the ashes to outside the camps, el mokim toir, to a pure place. Says the Gemara. Uposhat, it says in the Pasuk that he would take off his clothes. Velovash begodim achirim, and he would put on a new set of clothes. Vahoitzi es adeshen, etc. Shem eini, I would have understood that changing clothes, where do we find a change of clothes in the Beis HaMikdash? K'derech Yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur we know the Kohen Gadol changed from one type of clothes to another type of clothes, from the set of four clothes to a set of eight clothes, depending what part of the Avodah he was doing. When he was doing the Korban Tomid, or the regular Avodah Sayyim, he would wear the eight garments. When he was doing the part of the Avodah that was unique to Yom Kippur, he would wear just four garments. So it was different sets of clothes. So to here, If the Kohen wore one set of clothes for doing the Trumas Hadeshen and another set of clothes for Hoitzaas Hadeshen, he obviously wore a different set of clothes. Now, regular Kohen only has one set of clothes, so it must be Shepoishet Bigdei Kodesh. He took off the four clothes of the Kohen Hediot, the regular Bigdei Kohuna, and what clothes did he put on instead? V'lovash Bigdei Chol. He just put on his regular weekday clothes, not Bigdei Kohuna, and he just put on his regular clothes to take out the ashes from Yerushalayim. Talmud Leimar. It says in the Pasuk, Ufoshat Etz Begodov. That means I would have thought that that's what it means. V'lovash Begodim Achirim. The Pasuk says no. Ufoshat Etz Begodov, V'lovash Begodim Achirim. In the same Pasuk it says he took off these clothes and he wore other clothes, that we compare the two. The fact they're both written right there next to each other, we make a hekesh. Makish begodim sheloivish lebegodim shepoishet. We compare the new set of clothes to the old set of clothes. Ma lahalon bigdei kodesh, the same way as the first set of clothes, they were bigdei kodesh, they were his bigdei kohuna. Afkan bigdei kodesh. So too, he would take off the bigdei kohuna and he would wear other bigdei kohuna. Imkein ma Talmud loyma, achirim pchusim mehem. What's the pasuk coming to tell me? Take off bigdei kohuna, put on bigdei kohuna. Just leave them on. No. Because when taking the ashes out, the garments could become soiled. It was inappropriate to wear regular bigdei kohuna for that. They would take off the clean and expensive bigdei kohuna, and they would wear the inferior set of bigdei kohuna. Those that were worn out, those were not so glossy, the cheaper bigdei kohuna, and they would use those for removing the deshen. That was one opinion. Rebbe Eliezer argues with the Tanakama, at least to this detail, what to do with achirim, when the Pasuk says that they would wear begodim achirim, and the Tanakama say achirim means inferior clothes. Rebbe Eliezer just says that the word achirim is not coming to teach us that the clothes that he wears to take out the ashes are inferior to those that he used to separate the ashes, the Trumas Hadeshen. What does achirim tell us? It's actually saying achirim v'hoitzi, which means that you put the comma, so to speak, before the word achirim. Ufoshat es begodim v'lovash begodim. And achirim means different kohanim v'hoitzi es hadeshen. That means kohanim that normally cannot do the avoida, they can still do the hoitzoas hadeshen, they can take out the deshen. Which kohanim would those be? Those would be Bale Mumin. Limid al kohanim Bale Mumin, shekshirim lohoitzias hadeshen, that kohanim Bale Mumin, according to Rebbe Eliezer, are allowed to take the ashes out of Yerushalayim, out of the city. And that's, we've just read this brisa as is, without going into all the details, as Tosfos here discusses, and there's many other details here in the Rishonim, but that's what the Gemara says in a basic reading. Omar Mar, Achirim, going back to the Tanakama now. The Tanakama say that the word Achirim tells us that the clothes used for taking out the ashes are inferior to those of that are used to separate that first shovel full of ashes and put next to the Mizbeach. Achirim pchusin mehem. Could the Tana Deber Bishmoel, the reason would be, as the Tana Deber Bishmoel say, the Tana Deber Bishmoel, begodim shebishel behem kadeiro l'raboi, lo yimzoig behem kois l'raboi. If somebody is cooking for his master and his clothes are typically soiled, he would not use those same clothes whilst he's pouring the wine or pouring a drink for his master. Because when you're coming before your master, you come with respectable clothes. So to here, the clothes that are used to take out the ashes are typically clothes that would get soiled. And therefore, the clothes that are used for doing the Trumas Hadeshen, as with any other avoda, have to be the superior clothes. Continues the Gemara. Omar Resh Lakish. And now we're going to have a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish. Now, what did we see so far in the Braisa? The Braisa was talking about Hoitzoas Hadeshen, taking the remaining ashes from the top of the Mizbeach out of the city. And we saw there, Tanakama say, Begodim Achirim, you have to wear the four clothes, and they are just inferior clothes. Rabbi Eliezer says, Achirim tells us that even Bali Mumin can do the Hoitzoas Hadeshen. And now we're going to have a machlekes, what's with the actual Trumas Hadeshen? According to the Tanakama, who say that even Hoitzoas Hadeshen, they don't say that Kohanim Bali Mumin can do it, the Tanakama hold that Hoitzoas Hadeshen is called an Avoida. And obviously, it goes without saying that the Trumas Hadeshen is called an Avoida, and Kohenim Ba'alei Mumin cannot do that. The question is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that Hoytzoas Hadeshen can be done even with Ba'alei Mumin, the question is, with a Trumas Hadeshen, can that be done with Ba'alei Mumin or not? So that's a machleikus. Omer Shlokish k'machleikus b'hoytzoah, kach machleikus b'haroma. Shlokish says that in just in the same way as according to Rabbi Eliezer, Hoytzoas Hadeshen can be done with Kohenim Ba'alei Mumin, you learn it from Acherim, says Resh Lakish, the same applies to the Trumas Hadeshen, that Kohenim Acherim, even Ba'alei Mumin, can do the Trumas Hadeshen. Rabbi Yechanan Omar, Rabbi Yechanan argues with Resh Lakish and says, Machleikus Bohitzo, the Machleikus Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer is only by Hoitzoas Hadeshen. Aval Baharoma, but the Trumas Hadeshen, Divri Hakri Lavoidahi, everybody says it's an Avoida, and if it's an Avoida, a Ba'alei Mumin cannot do the Trumas Hadeshen, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. My Talmud Resh Lakish, what would be the reason, the source for Resh Lakish, who says that even Trumas Hadeshen is not considered an Avoida, and even Ba'alei Mumin can do the Avoida? Omar Lecha, Resh Lakish will tell you, Yisal Kedai Tech Avoidahi, if you'll say that Trumas Hadeshen is an Avoida, and therefore Kohenim Ba'alei Mumin are not allowed to do the Trumas Hadeshen, and this is all according to the Kontra Beliezer. Yesh lecha avoido shekshero b'shnei kelim? Is it possible that one can do something called an avoida, namely the Trumas Hadeshen, with only wearing two of the garments? Because if you look in the Chumash actually only speaks about two of the garments. It says midoivad u'michneseivad. The midoivad, the ksoines, the tunic that the Kohen would wear when doing the Trumas Hadeshen, and the Michnasayim, the trousers they would wear when doing the Trumas Hadeshen. The Mitznefes, the hat, is not mentioned, nor is the Avnet, the belt, is not mentioned. So for the very fact that the Torah says you do Trumas Hadeshen with just two of the four clothes, it must be that it's not called an Avoida. And it must be that even Kohenim Ba'alei Mumin can do the Trumas Hadeshen. And the Rishonim discuss, according to Resh Lakish, how do we understand the Tanakama? The Tanakama also agree that there's only two begodim mentioned in the Pasuk, and nonetheless they say that a Kohen Ba'al Mum is not allowed to do the Avoida, not allowed to do the Trumas Hadeshen. And it would seem, and Rabbeinu Chananel says explicitly, that according to Tanakama, the Trumas Hadeshen is considered an Avoida. So we should really be asking, how can you do Avoida with just two clothes? So that's a question that the Rishonim discuss. But the Gemara is now asking, V'Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that Hoytzoas Hadeshen can be done by a Ba'al Mum, he says that Trumas Hadeshen is considered an Avoida and cannot be done with a Ba'al Mum. How's he going to respond to what Resh Lakish says, that the Pasuk just says, Midoivad u'michneseivad, only two begodim? There's no Avoida with just two begodim. Answers the Gemara, Goli Rachmona b'ksoines u'michnesayim, that the Pasuk mentioned midoivad u'michneseivad just to impress on us, don't think that this is weekday clothes. Don't think that this is not an Avoida. It is an Avoida, and you need big day kuna, and you'll understand on your own, v'hu adinim, it's nefes v'avnet. It will be self-understood that it's not coming to exclude the other two clothes. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, indeed, for the Trumas Hadeshen, even though the Pasuk explicitly only mentions midoivad u'michneseivad, we would understand that you need to wear the mitznefes and the avnet, the other two, as well. Asks the Gemara, Umayishno hani. According to Resh Lakish, these two are mentioned because according to Resh Lakish, you only have to wear these two. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that you have to wear all four, then just don't say any of them. And the very fact that the Torah says that a Kohen has to do the Trumas Hadeshen will understand that it's an Avoida and it needs all four clothes. Why did the Torah single out the tunic, the Midoivad, the Ksoines, and the Michnosaim? Answers the Gemara, because there's another limud that we have from these two. When it says midoy bad, what we learn from here is that midoy kamidosai, that the this tunic has to be measured exactly according to the size of the kohen. Not too long, it mustn't be dragging along the floor, nor is it allowed to be elevated off the floor, it mustn't be too high, it has to fit exactly. That's what you learn from the Midoivad, the Michnaseivad. What do we learn? Look at the Tanya. Minayin Shaloyehe Dovo Koidim Lemichnasaim. How do you know that the first of the four clothes that the Kohen has to wear has to be the Michnasaim? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Umichnaseivad Yilbash Al Basoroi, that he has to wear the Michnaseivad, which is these trousers, Al Basoroi. It has to be the first thing that it goes onto his flesh. There's nothing else on his flesh, no other big dekuna on his body before the michnasayim. So these two halachas we learn, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the fact that these two are mentioned is to teach us these halachas. Uvir Rish Lakish, midoy kamidosei. How did Rish Lakish learn that this tunic, this ksoines, has to be exactly the size of the kohen? Mida afki rachmona beloshen midoy. Why doesn't it use the word ksoines like it does in other places? The fact that the Torah calls it midoy bad is in order to impress on us this extra halacha that it has to be exactly the right size. Shelo yehi dova koydim lemichnasayim. How does Rish Lakish learn, if according to Rish Lakish, that michnasayim and the midoy bad are mentioned to tell us that just these two need to be worn? So how are you going to learn that the first clothes of the four clothes that have to be well put on are the michnasayim? Says the Gemara, Rish Lakish will say, Me'al basori nafka. The michnasayvad has to be mentioned to tell us he has to wear the michnasayim. Why does it have to say the word al basori again? Why does it have to say it at all? It should just say, V'lovash hakoyin midayvad. Uv michnasayvad, why does it have to say yilbash al basori? Al basori, to tell us this extra halacha, that it has to be the first put clothes that he puts on his body. Continues the Gemara, Neimu ketanoi. We just saw Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether Kunt Rabbi Eliezer, Chumas Hadeshen is considered an Avoida or not. According to Rabbi Rish Lakish, it's not considered an Avoida, and therefore even Kohenim Bali Mumin can do the Chumas Hadeshen. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it is considered an Avoida, and Kohenim Bali Mumin cannot do the Chumas Hadeshen. So the Gemara is asking, Neimuke Tanoi, are we saying that this is the same as a Machlokes Tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Doisa? Why? Because the pasuk says al basori, it says v'lovash hakohen midoy bad umichnasei vad yilbash al basori. It would have been enough to say v'lovash hakohen, the kohen should wear midoy vad umichnasei vad al basori. Why do I need again the word yilbash? You just said v'lovash. So the Brayse addresses that al basori ma talmud loima yilbash. Why did it say again the word yilbash? Lahovi mitznefes v'avnet laharoma, in order to impress on us that Chumas Hadeshen, you have to have yilbash, another two clothes. Which are the two clothes? The mitznefes and the avnet. You need all four clothes. If you divi Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and we assume if you need all four clothes, it's because it's Navoida. Like Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan said that even though the Pasuk explicitly mentions only the Midoivad or Michnaseivad, but we understand it's the other two clothes as well. It must be that way because it's a Navoida. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Doisa argues and says that the extra word Yilbash is Lerabo Ispigde Kohen Gadol B'Yema Kippurim. A completely different halacha, that the clothes, the four clothes worn by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, shaksherim l'Kohen Hedyot, that the Kohen Hedyot is allowed, after Yom Kippur, the Kohen Hedyot is allowed to wear them. Omar Rebbe commented on this, that shtei tshuvos b'davar, and we've learned this extensively on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, that Rebbe argued with Rabbi Doisa and had two reservations against him. Number one, Choda, the Avnete Shel Kohen Gadol, the belt of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was made of boots. Lo Yizeu Avnete Shel Kohen Hedyot. It's not the type of belt the Kohen Hedyot wears all year, including Yom Kippur, which is made with Kilaim. Void another question that Rebbe has against Rabbi Doisa, that Begodim Shenishtamish Bem Kedusha Chamura, these four clothes that the Kohen Gadol wore in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur is Tishamish Bem Kedusha Kala, is going to be used for the rest of the year by regular Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. That's also not, doesn't make sense. Elomah Talmud Loima Yilbash. Rebbe's now got to say, if he doesn't agree with what Rabbi Doisa does with the word Yilbash, to say Yilbash means that you're allowed to wear those clothes that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur. So what is Yilbash teaching us? The Rabbi says, Ashchokim, to say that big day kohen are kosher even if they are worn out. So that's Rebbe. And now we've got another four lines, which the truth is it doesn't belong here. And some take them out, some take these four lines out, and they actually belong to the sugya on Daf Yud Beis. We'll read them because they're here. Ve'inicham sham. And it says in the Pasuk that after the Kohen Gadol finished his Avodah on Yom Kippur, he would take the clothes, ve'inicham sham, and you would place them there. Melamed she'tu'unim gniza. They have to be hidden away there. That's it. They're never going to be used again. Reb Doisa argues and says, Ru'in hein l'kohen hedyot. They can still be used by a kohen hedyot for the rest of the year. So why does it say v'nicham sham, place them there as if that's where they're going to stay? Shelo yishtamish b'em yom kippurim achir. Just in order to impress on us that this kohen gadol after Yom Kippur should put them there and leave them there. Don't ever take them out again for Yom Kippur, but not to exclude other kohenim being able to use it afterwards. My love, now we're coming back to the machlokes that we saw between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Doisa, whether the word yilbash tells us that you have to wear four clothes, that including the avnet and the mitznefes, or whether it's telling us another halacha regarding Yom Kippur. That the clothes, that the big day kohen gadol on Yom Kippur are kosher for a kohen hedyot. So says the Gemara, my love, ba'ok miflegi. Do we not assume that this is the machlokes? The marasovar avoidahi. Rabbi Yehuda holds that truma sadeshen is considered an avoida, and since it's considered an avoida, therefore you need to wear all four clothes. That's what he learns from Yilbash, that you also have to wear the avnet and the mitznefes. Or marasovar, and Rabbi Doisa argues and says lav avoidahi. And therefore, it's enough to wear just the two clothes that the Pasuk mentions by the Trumas Hadeshen. And what you're going to do with Yilbash, that you do with what Rabbi Doisa says you do with it, says the Gemara Loi. It doesn't necessarily mean that this Machlokes Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Doisa, is the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Yosh Lakish. The Kule Alma Avodah, it could be that both Tanoim agree that Trumas Hadeshen is considered an Avodah. And you have to wear all four clothes. Everybody agrees with that. This is the machlokes. Marasovar tzricha krol Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the pasuk says explicitly midoy vad u'michnesei vad, and two of the clothes are absent, are not mentioned in the pasuk. He says I need the pasuk Yilbash to tell me an extra word to tell us you have to wear all four clothes. Well, Marasovar Rabbi Doisa says no. I also think you have to wear all four clothes, even though the pasuk says just two. Loy tzricha krol Rabbi Yehuda. I take it for granted from the very fact that the Torah tells us you have to wear two of the clothes, so I know it's an avoida, and if it's avoida, I take it for granted you need to wear all four of the clothes. So what do I do with Yilbash? Yilbash of Doisa says he learns the halacha of L'rabbis big dekein godl, b'yema kippurim shekshirim l'kein hedyot. And therefore there's no reason to believe that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Doisa is the identical machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. And in Mirtz Hashem in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.